Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate YouTube, where you can come in and chat with the people that have been on the show and past guests as well. A lot on the news today. I wanted to cover a few things. First of all, our conference is on July 23rd. We've got a great lineup. You know, we've got the Edge of Wonder Boys, Corey Good, myself, there's so many, I'm trying to think of all of them, like brain farting right now, but it's on the website, a host of women, and Rachel is going to be with us too, our guest. So we're going to have quite a lineup. Go to the website. There's too many to go on the air. I'd be here for a while. And so check it out. It's on the 23rd. So we might be sold out. I'm not sure, but it is moving fast. But anyway, on the news, it said, it looks like Chaz, the Summer of Love Festival that the Democrats like to refer to it, was shut down in Seattle during a 5 a.m. raid, and workers are cleaning up the mess. And there's still cars without license plates full of armed protesters, and they're being investigated. So heads up, you know, just be safe out there, and might want to just give this a little time to die out. And Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's partner, probably singing like a bird. You know, she was arrested. I wonder how long she's going to last. And I would suggest to hide the sheets, you know, so we know how that goes. The Schumann resonance also is off the scale. There's massive spikes. Yesterday was insane. There's gamma ray bursts hitting the planet. There's a lot of confusion about this. The gamma rays are actually seventh level consciousness or seventh dimensional consciousness that are hitting the earth right now, and there's major blasts happening, and the earth is responding to that, and the Schumann resonance is spiking. So you're going to be a little dizzy, you're going to be tired at times, you're going to have all this energy, and then you're just going to want to lay down. Your body's going to go through shifts and changes. I'd really suggest taking your shoes off, walking on the earth, getting grounded, and just kind of eat light foods, and just a good time to ground with all these energies. And so, you know, a lot, the Q is going off the scale right now with all of its posts. And we've always said here, you know, the pedophiles will be the first and they'll take down the rest, you know, the global elite. So it looks like that's the way it's going to wrap up here. So it's going to get exciting. You know, it's going to be interesting. Now, Rachel Ferris, I'm going to give her bio out now. She's the top 50 hit songwriter of I'm Not the Girl, and her single Light Me Up is currently charting top 40 radio and climbing every week. Her song Sweetest Thing from her album Above the Rug is playing on air all over the world, including the UK and McDonald's everywhere and many other retail outlets. She's been playing piano since the age of 7, began writing songs in her teens. She co-produced her debut album and most of her other works, thriving on both sides of the recording booth. And she shared the stage with Smash Mouth, Daniel Bedingfield, Lisa Marie Presley, Sixpence, and the Mercy Me, None the Richer, Mercy Me, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Brooks and Dunn, and many more. She was a musical guest performer in the Wayne Brady Show. She's toured the U.S. extensively and visited over 35 major radio stations to sing on air and give interviews. She's also featured on the covers of R&R Magazine, The Network Magazine. And she was the first artist to launch Lid Rock, the mini disc promotion campaign that reached millions with her song Soak. The Billboard did write up on her hit single, I'm Not the Girl, saying it's everything power pop music should be. Rachel's fervor extends beyond her sharing with music to fostering lifelong change for neglected and abused children. All the proceeds of her 2012 song Empty go to court-appointed special advocates, CASA, a charity for children, which is awesome. I think that's great. So any further ado, I want to bring Rachel on the show. Rachel, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, James. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
I think it's great you're working with the children, you know, because it's so important right now. And we have a lot of the divine Mary energies coming in here. And it's so, you know, they're not too happy about a lot of the things that have been going on. Matter of fact,
I bet.
It's like Mary with a bat, you know, is coming in. So there's going to be some big changes there, you know.
I love that. Who knew Mary played baseball?
Yeah.
No, it's crazy to think of these innocent children, and my heart has always been towards them way before even knowing how bad it's gotten, because back then it was more just, you know, the pedophilia and child sacrifice and stuff wasn't as known.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, we have to take care of this. Number one is what I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that. I was actually accused of being a pedophile at one time, and I have a daughter, you know, I have a daughter, and I go, are you kidding me? I can't even wrap my head around that. And what's funny is that there is a person with the same name as me, but his middle name is Wilson. And my name is Alan. My middle name is Alan. So these people thought, oh, we got him, you know, we got him now. And they were just totally attacking me all over the internet. And then I sent them my driver's license. And I said, look, when are you going to, you know, print a apology? You know, are you going to do a retraction or anything? None of them. They wouldn't even. And they're still coming at it.
That's but, unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's rumors. And so I've been fighting this for, God, since I've talked about this in the 80s, you know, wow. the mid 80s. So covered this and what was going on. So, I mean, we've been nailing this and the chemtrails and the food additives and all that stuff since then, you know, and the tyranny that's been going on. But it is crazy. And I've always been told by the higher beings, especially the divine feminine entities, you know, that have been coming in, they've been saying that this subject right here is going to take them down. You know, this is a lot of the global elite and these other guys, this is their Achilles heel.
Yeah, that will be amazing. I am ready for it. I think we all are. It's time for the great revealing. And I was just reading, it's funny, the book of Thomas in the Gnostic Gospels. Have you read that at all?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was saying everything will be revealed. And it just made me feel, you know, it's just the times we're living in, and it's just such an amazing opportunity to see all of this unfold. While it seems pretty traumatic for a lot of people, I think if you've done the inner work, you can stand till the end and just be a witness of this incredible revealing.
Yeah, Thomas was actually Jesus' twin brother, and people don't know about that.
Yes.
And actually, you'll meet him.
Really?
You'll be meeting him. I'm not gonna spill the beans on it, but who he is or anything. But
I would love to meet him.
Brilliant man.
You know, so then that makes me think. So is it kind of like a twin flame, or like an actual biological twin?
Well, at that time, he was a biological twin.
Okay.
And there's a big family there, and they're all very enlightened. They all had gifts and they all had abilities. And and you know, and then there was the House of Mary, which was huge, massive. And that's where Jesus hung out, because they're more in the heart. You know, they're more heart-centered and more loving and compassionate. And all the mental stuff just drove him nuts. You know, he'd go, I'd rather be in the heart or out in nature. That was where he felt, you know, the most comfortable.
Oh, that's cool. I can relate to that. I feel like we're missing so much heart now, and we've tipped so much to science and not spirituality that we're just, something has to give. And I think that's another thing that's interesting about all of the trauma that people are having to experience, where, you know, whether it's the virus or it's the violence or anything that feels pretty traumatic, it's the same old method of the psychopaths and the narcissists to hit you with trauma and hope that you will just crumble in fear and give away your power and stay under their control. And it's just one thing I've seen is it's hard for people to grasp that these things could really be orchestrated. And it's easier if you've encountered a psychopath yourself, or if you've been in a relationship with a narcissist, and you're like, okay, because you've seen the duality, you've seen that this facade of relationship that you think is happening, all of a sudden it's like it disappears, the matrix, you know, it's not real. First you see that they don't really love you, because they're incapable of love. And then second, you see that they think they love you because they don't know what that is. They can't even fathom it. So it's an insane realization that I think if you have encountered that, consider yourself blessed, because it's a huge awakening step to see that there are these beings who operate in a completely different way than we do, for whatever reason, wherever they, but in some ways I think that they serve a purpose, because you can look at it as, oh, I was a victim of this terrible psychopath or this, and it turns into an opportunity to become enlightened and to become a super sharpened individual who can kind of rise above and see what's really going on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think about some of the things that I've gone through, and I wouldn't trade any of it for the world, because I've gained a lot of wisdom from those experiences. And, you know, I've made mistakes like everybody else. I made one back in 1968 when I admitted to making one that I didn't really make. But no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Wait, so you admitted to the one you did not make. That's amazing. Is this like an experiment?
No, it's a really bad joke. But, you know, we were talking about perfection the other day, and I said, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect in my imperfection. And I said, who sets the bar for perfection? You know, who creates what perfection is? And perfection is a limitation, because there's no evolution. There's no growth in perfection. It's stagnant. It's dead.
You know,
so why would you want to try to measure up to somebody else's concept of perfection when each and every one of us have our own unique soul purpose for being here? And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's just it's a construct for control.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because it's also true about spiritual growth. Because for me, if we weren't always able to reach a new level of awareness or a new height and grow, how boring life would be. Like if we just were already perfect or we were already enlightened. And there's something about the journey that has always been a reason to live, a reason to continue and expand. So
I know Star Trek did one on that. It's funny, they call them the Q. Do you remember that? And that, and they're omniscient beings or omnipotent beings, you know, but what happened is they were stagnant.
Yeah.
They hit that level, and there was nothing to do anymore, nothing to create, nothing to, and they're dying out or whatever. So they had to go out and stir up trouble and everything else just so they could feel alive again.
You know? Just to kill that boredom. I know, that reminds me, you said that, because it's so funny, when I studied religion in college, I went back to school after I was dropped from my record label. I went back to school and we studied religion, and Q was a source that was constantly used in the Gospels, which was like this, you know, this big letter Q. So when Q came out, I was kind of like, wait, the missing source from the Bible, like, there's been so many Qs, but this Q, it's interesting that this was the oral tradition of things that Jesus taught, Yeshua, and then the gospel writers drew from this Q source that all the scholars were unsure of. You know, there wasn't a written source, it's just Q. And so it's funny, that was the original Q that I studied and learned about. So it's, Q seems to be coming around a lot.
That is a great perspective. I know when I was meditating, I kept asking, you know, when is this all going to end? You know, when is this tyranny going to be, you know, done with? I go, this is insane what they're doing to people on the planet. People don't even know what's in store for them right now and what they've got planned.
Right.
And I kept asking them, and this was a long time ago, and they kept saying Q. And it was before Q was even known, you know?
Yeah.
Q. They kept saying Q, and I go, Q what? You know, are you talking about like Kuan Yin, or what's this Q thing, you know? And they wouldn't elaborate on it. And it took about maybe 6 months, and all of a sudden I saw the Q stuff coming out. And I go, that's it. That's what they're talking about. So this is a multidimensional thing that's going on. It's not just some white hats, you know, doing their thing, you know, that they're patriots or stuff. It's much bigger than that. It's a multidimensional force, you know, that's the white hats are the ground crew, but it's bigger, and the force behind this can't be stopped. It's, you know, you look at these pulses hitting the earth right now and moving into this highly energized place in space we've never been, this big cosmic ribbon we're going through. And you look at all the details of this and how all the lower frequency stuff is being pushed up, you know, to the surface. When you look at that, you just go, oh my God, you know, this is, I see the big picture now. And this is a force that like no man can stop. It's intense.
Absolutely. And I'm so thankful that we have help because we need it. And we'd be so outpowered without some extra help, because that's, I like that you said that. We have had so many puppets, even our presidents, anyone that we think or see as this big leader has just been, and also all the celebrities and stars, it's, they take orders from somebody much higher than them, and maybe even someone that doesn't have a physical presence that needs them to do their bidding. And it's incredible to see all of this play out, because if we didn't have that multidimensional help, we couldn't fight the dark side that has their multidimensional forces. And I just think it's an incredible thing we see unfolding. It was reminding me too of times in the past. I was recalling clues that I got along the way. I used to work this job, and we would slime children. Do you remember the Nickelodeon slime and like the Double Dare stuff? So I was a host, and we would slime a bunch of kids for fun. But Michael Jackson showed up one day, and they brought him in, you know, underground tunnel at this theme park. And when I saw that, you know, these underground tunnels are real, this stuff really goes on. And how is it that these certain people are given these privileges to do things that other humans on this planet can't do? He had a group of maybe a dozen children with him, and they were all wearing masks, and they just showed up, you know, into our backstage area from this underground tunnel. And these kids had their faces covered, which reminded me of COVID and these masks. And I was thinking, man, this mask thing has been going on for so freaking long. And who were these children's parents, and why were they okay with this celebrity having their children cover their faces and go around, you know, all of that, you know, all of this stuff about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just so remembering, you know, all these things that I saw being in the music industry for so long and in the entertainment industry really showed me so many things in preparation for what's going on now. And I've always collected the data, even though, you know, most people would have said, that's awesome that Michael Jackson has these children, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, but no, I question everything. And I just, you know, if that was my child, I don't know.
It's sad. He was definitely an abused kid himself. You know, and then he passed the potato on that, you know, and all that stuff can be cleared. You know, you can clear that through counseling and things like that. But you can't get to these guys to help them because they have their handlers and their doctors and their lawyers, and you can't go near them. And, you know, he'd be alive today if it wasn't for the handlers right now.
Yes, it's so true. Same with so many of them. And sometimes I wonder which of them are truly alive still, or if they are just a version, you know, of the original. And my heart has always gone out to them, especially people like Britney Spears and all the celebrities that I've seen, because, you know, during my career, they would be coming out at the same time. I watched Katy Perry coming out. So I saw them in their innocence. I remember being at the radio station because my single was on the air and recently dropped right before Katy Perry was there. And, you know, she was just a sweet girl, nervous, and sang her song. And I checked on her in the green room. And I remember the radio station owner, or not the owner, the program director had to decide. He was just stricken over, should I play I Kiss the Girl? Because he has daughters, and he was convicted over it. And I was talking to him, and ultimately he chose to play the song because the powers that be said, you must play this song. This is on the agenda. So he played the song. He kept his job. And that's what you see over and over, that the whole music industry has been so controlled for so long that only the certain puppet artists with the message that they wanted could really get the airtime. It's just been crazy to see the development of all these artists. And I'm so thankful that I never got famous, because it would have been my destruction. I feel like I was protected.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you have that level, you know, the first level is on your own merit, you know, and your singing and your abilities and things like that. And then they come to you and they said, okay, if you're going to do the next level, you got to come to this party, or you got to do this and you got to do that.
Right.
And the people that take the next level, then they're hooked, you know, and you got to do some ritual or something. And then it just goes downhill from there. And then you find these people just drugged out, guilty, and just, they've just been destroyed, you know, on a soul level. And they're just popping drugs to stay alive, to keep going, you know, to function. And then we all know where that goes. That just opens the door to even darker things. And, you know, you look at these people and you just go, my God, who is that person? They're very energetic or youthful or whatever. And you see them 10 years later and all the life force is gone, you know?
Yes. Yes. And seeing Britney Spears when she broke down, my heart just broke for her, because she was such a sweet girl. And you know that whatever was done to her, you know, you don't just develop a mental illness out of nowhere like that. She was an incredible young girl, very talented. And it's just devastating to see how people can jump on a person and say, you're crazy. Oh, what a freak. And it's like, oh my goodness, no, we should be reaching out to these people with compassion, and it's so sad what they go through.
I've had some people, I don't like to name drop, but I've had some very, very famous people that I worked with in the past and helped them cut cords and get back in touch with their soul, basically, and things like that. But there are some people that's just out of my pay grade. They told me, you can't, you know, you can't. And people like Britney, she just needs to join a monastery somewhere and just sit, you know, in where others are holding space. You know, she just needs to drop everything and go find like a Tibetan monastery or something like that, where there's a lot of Tibetan nuns, or you know, that would, you know, and she should make a nice donation to them too, to keep the monastery going. But, you know, it's like a lot of us have bigger fish to fry, you know, there's a bigger purpose. You know, I try to help as many people as I can, but what's that old saying? Sometimes the needs of the many, you know, outweigh the needs of the few or the one or whatever.
Yeah. You
know, there's some people that they've made agreements and contracts and on many levels, and they've gone through rituals and things like that. And to pull them out of that condition is not easy. I mean, it's a lot of time and energy and heart, and to get them, you know, and you're not going to get them all there, but you'll get them, you know, out of there enough to where they can do their own work, basically.
Yes, that's powerful, because I think it's so nice that you can help them, but then you do realize that it's even better if they just help themselves. We can all heal ourselves. And that's something I didn't know for so long. We think that we need to go outside to some exterior source to get help, you know, whether it's counseling, which all these things can be really good. But at the end of the day, when we connect to our creator and we have this, we can receive messages from our creator. It's amazing what we can do. And it just reminds me too, I'm not a religious person and I'm not a Bible thumper, but I did grow up studying that and I do study religions, but I always go back to Yeshua and Jesus saying, you can do even greater things than me. And that whole message was lost. It was like, we were always so full of shame and fear and like, I need a savior, I need help. And we are so much more than that and we can heal ourselves. So I love that you give that help to people, but then you also empower them to do the work. Because I think the way that it lasts, is if you found a way to do it yourself. And you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all about empowering the individual and we don't create dependencies. And a lot of people totally miss the teachings of Jesus. And because, you know, he wasn't teaching about an external God, you know, everything he taught was internal. He taught personal responsibility and internal, you know, that's how you heal. That's how you awaken. That's how you become empowered. That's the love and the acceptance and the approval within. It's not an external process. And the external stuff is just a Band-Aid, you know, temporary. But I always tell people in a nutshell, basically, when he was born, he said, I am the Son of Man. So he was the son of Joseph and Mary. That was his identity. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he started receiving messages, right? And he says, I'm a messenger of God, you know? And then he goes, wait a second, I'm not this body. I'm not this meat suit. You know, I'm a soul. I'm a spirit. I came from the source, you know?
Right.
I'm the son of God, you know, like this. And then he did total immersion. I call it the atonement is more of an at-one-ment with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. He expanded in awareness, became one with that. And then he said, I am God, you know,
and
people did not understand how can he pray to God and then be God? You know, it doesn't add up. You know, they couldn't figure out that program, but his life was the message.
Right.
So his life, if you look at his life, it was the message. But people created an external thing. They put him on the cross. They created pain and suffering and guilt and everything external and then controlled the people, which is totally the opposite of what he taught.
It is. And he said, sacrifice is not needed. Y'all stop killing.
Yeah.
Stop this blood sacrifice. And then somehow the powers that be used him as a blood sacrifice and then created this whole religion where his whole message was, no, you don't need blood sacrifice. And then it was like, oh, now we're going to say you need his blood. So they're so obsessed with blood and killing and sacrifice, these elite establishment higher powers, because that's exactly what they did. They were like, we've got to kill this Jesus who is saying all of these things. It's just.
Well, can you imagine the bonus points they get for sacrificing him?
Right.
To their dark lords. I mean,
there's no saying,
messiahs die young. You know, there's a saying, and that's why they say that because.
Right.
You know, I always tell people the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. And so, you really have to learn self-mastery, how to heal unseen negative influences, keep your space clear, and like that, or you will end up, you can end up being taken over, you know. And
you really can.
Yeah.
I feel like they're waiting at the door.
Yeah, they are. And the more influence you have on others and the higher position you have of power, the more you have to stay in humility and do clearings and healings and stay focused on service to others, you know, or you're going to get taken out. And I see people fall all the time. And I think what's amazing now, I'm seeing these people who profess to be enlightened and senseis and they're YouTube warriors, you know, and they go and they spread all kinds of gossip and rumors and deceptions and lies. And they say they're these spiritual warriors, you know.
Yes.
And I go, you're a troll. Period. End of story. You're a troll. You're not enlightened. You're not awake. And let's not profess to be anything other than a troll. Because that You know, they're all saying a man's actions, a man's character is established by his actions or her actions.
Right.
And so, by your actions, you're a troll. Let's just be blunt,
Yeah, and you live under a bridge, right? Is that what trolls do?
It's or in so your mom's basement, or somewhere, it's like.
Yeah, them by their fruits. And I think that's what's so interesting about thousands and thousands of people, or 80% of people identifying with some sort of religion or Christianity or Catholicism. And do you really see 80% of 8 billion people embodying love for others and forgiveness?
Yeah.
I don't. And it's so interesting how you can think that you're awake, and you can think, because you've had this awakening or you've had this epiphany, that you're there. But until we can say that we truly love ourselves and we love others, which also we could say we could love our nation in order to love other nations as well, we aren't really there yet. And as Yeshua said, love your enemies. That is radical.
Yeah.
Like, what? Picture the worst person who's done horrible things to you. Your abuser, the worst elite person that you're so angry with. And what? Love them? Come on.
Oh, it's going to flatten them when you do. People don't realize this, and it's a little secret I don't like to tell out because people use it wrong.
Yeah.
But actually, forgiveness is a weapon.
Yeah.
And that sounds outrageous, but when you forgive somebody and you totally release it, it leaves your field and it goes back to them tenfold.
Right.
And they're going to create an experience around for their lesson. And it so people so go, oh, if I forgive this person, then they're going to get me again, or it's going to happen again. Well, it is going to happen again because you're still holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, you're going to draw people, places, and things to you. You're going to magnetize them to you according to your consciousness.
Right.
So when you forgive somebody, it frees you, but that energy leaves you and it goes back to the other person, and they have to deal with it. And they're going to manifest something for their lesson, but it's going to be energized. It's going to be, because when you call on the higher consciousness and energy, all that gets energized and you release it, and then it gets completed on their end.
It's so true. It's so funny though, that it's almost like you can't use it for bad, because you can't really forgive unless it comes from a good place, it seems, anyway. Yeah. It's kind of a foolproof power, which I love.
Yeah, it won't work unless you forgive.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So it's kind of like a weapon, but it doesn't work unless you really forgive. So,
right. I love this, James, because there is no counterfeit to forgiveness. There's a counterfeit light. There's a counterfeit of so many. There's a counterfeit consciousness, a counterfeit spiritual awakening. But there is no counterfeit forgiveness.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love that. And it is so powerful, and it's not easy. And sometimes you see people just holding on for their whole lives to something that someone did to them.
Yeah.
And it continues to harm them, and you're hurting yourself, and you just keep hurting yourself by not forgiving. And it's not easy, but it's amazing.
Well, it's so simple. It really is simple, because basically, what Yeshua said, he said, on these two laws lie all the laws and the prophets. He said, love God with all your heart and your neighbors yourself. I wish he would have said, be kind to each other and the earth, and put that in there too, the planet. But it's that simple. But people make it complicated. They get an intellect. They intellectualize, well, I need to do this because I have to feed my family. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to, if I don't have all this fancy car and boat and everything, my wife's going to leave me, or whatever. they're so programmed, much wants more. And I'm going to be, they're so attached to their material acquisitions as establishing their self-worth, that as soon as they lose those, they have no self-worth. Their ego takes a big hit. The whole programming, you got to just get out of that whole programming. And sit with yourself, get out in nature, get away from all this stuff, and get really clear with, what do I want? What is my unique purpose for being here? How can I be of service to others? And you know, I like the Native American saying, is it, there's a Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good.
Yes.
And that's the simplicity of, you can live your life like that, and that's all you need to know.
Right. And I love how when Yeshua said, it summed up all the commandments, that it actually includes loving other, you know, the animals, the planet, and the earth, and taking care of it. Because if you don't love other people, you probably also don't love animals and the planet. And you're, you know, so it goes together to me. I feel like it's all encompassing. And because we need, so other humans need the planet, they need the food from the planet, they need all of it. So if you love other people and they need it, you also can take care of what they need, right?
Exactly. And you know, the planet's abundant. People have no comprehension, like lack is manufactured, basically. It's great. The global elite, they have a program. They said, keep them sick, keep them stupid, keep them poor.
Right.
And that's how we can control them. Well, what happened? The economy is going gangbusters. You know, everybody's having jobs. They're coming out of poverty. They couldn't be controlled anymore. So what do? They come in with this virus and try to shut everything down because everybody's waking up, becoming empowered, you know, getting out of poverty. You know, everything's going in a positive direction, the opposite direction that they want us to go in. And what's sad is there's so many people that are participating in their own demise. You know, they through willingly or in ignorance are being played, you know, and I tell people, these people are getting paid and you're getting played. All these division games, doesn't matter, you know, what color you are, what sex you are, whatever, all the division games are all there for a reason, and it's to keep people from uniting and coming together, because when you're united and you come together, you don't have all these other problems.
Yes. So much division. That reminds me, when I just moved, I had to update my ID, and she said, are you Republican or Democratic? And I said, neither. And I said, how about we just do like Libertarian or middle of the road? And she said, that's not an option. Yeah. I said, excuse me? She said, you have to choose. And I said, well, can I just say neither? And she said, no. And I said, what if I don't choose? She said, you'll have to pay 30% more taxes. So I said, yes, on your home. So if you aren't a registered voter, you have to pay more taxes. So therefore, I was forced to choose. And the division of the polar opposites, you must be Republican or Democrat, which that is so crazy because it's... Yeah. It's losing the middle ground, right? Where a lot of times the truth falls right in the middle. A lot of times. I mean, this whole polarity and duality has been going on for so long, and they just wanted to tighten that a little bit. And just like you were saying, there's so much division, which is a big thing on my heart right now. I actually just recorded a song in Texas on the division of America, because if we are divided, we are going to fall. And somehow we have to figure out a way to unite. And it's this whole division by party line and the old, same old, like, you know, division by religion or where you come from or, you know, what you eat or all this stuff. And it just needs to stop because we're so similar. We all need planet Earth. We all need each other. And we're all humans. If you have a soul... And so I really get on a soapbox on that because if we can unite and we are the majority of humans united, there's so many of us.
Sounds like a song. I'll send
it to you. Yeah, I just recorded it and it was it was very inspired because first this piano part came to me and it would make me cry because it would just touch me. And I didn't know what the lyrics were going to be yet. And I just waited. Yeah. It was like, wait for it. Yeah. And then the lyrics came and the song is called Wake. So in the future, I will release that. Maybe I should release it at Eseti.
Hey, there you go. A lot of things have been released here. It's amazing.
Oh, cool.
Have happened here.
That would be a nice time, late July.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, It's so funny. I've just seen everybody, the light workers, the people that are in service and things are being so inspired right now. There's so much energy flooding in and they're coming forward now and speaking their truth and becoming empowered. And the tyranny is like shrinking, but they're like a wounded animal. You know, they're in the corner lashing out at, and who knows what, you know, hopefully that the white hats can get that under control because they've got some nasty repercussions. They've got, you know, sitting around in their little test tubes, you know, and things like that.
But, I know. What else have they been playing around with in those labs? I'm just.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah.
Goodness, like, what is coming next? We have so many months to like anticipate it. It really is like a movie.
Yeah. Just follow the money and you'll know exactly who's behind it. And,
oh yeah.
Gonna profit from it and who, and then you know who released it. You know,
it's. Yeah. Yes. And it's so funny, just all the things you start to see where their currency is money. So obviously they control everything with money, just like how I went ahead and chose a political party to save money.
Yeah.
I'm guilty as charged, but they use money, right? And then our currency as humans, I feel right now, is our attention. We pay attention. That's our, yeah. We pay it. And they try to get our attention with all this crazy stuff they're doing. Mm-hmm. They try to have us locked in on that so that we don't focus on the bigger picture. You know, if we're focusing on, oh my gosh, am I going to get this virus? Then we're totally paying our attention to the trauma, then that's what they want. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's TV programming, which is programming our minds. And
social engineering at its best. That's when I see, the, every once in a while, I'll turn on the news just to see what they're saying. And I go, oh my God, this is pure lies, deception, social engineering at its best. And they're feigning outrage. You know, they're such bad actors. And everything they accuse others of, they themselves are guilty of 1,000-fold, you know. So
that is the oldest trick of a narcissist, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Where they say,
even the dark side does that too. The dark side will accuse you of what they themselves are doing, it's funny, the not unseen entities, you know, that we talk about. Because I always tell people the reason there's so much inhumanity on the planet is because there's so much non-human interference that people don't even know about.
Right.
And you know, people think a lot of your thoughts and emotions aren't even yours.
So true. Oh yeah, my goodness. Yeah. They can send that over on like internet waves. Like if you have Wi-Fi on, they can literally, they know what they're doing. They can implant through these waves. We have no clue the technology. Yeah.
And even these unseen entities, these, whatever you call them, discarnate spirits or whatever, they still have a mental body and emotional body. And
right.
So it can affect your mind, your mental body, and your emotional body. And so people start getting really negative thoughts. When you have so much negative thinking, you usually have multiple entities stacked up, you know, and if you get really depressed or you want to commit suicide or you're having all these accidents and everything else, there's usually multiple entities stacked up.
Yes.
You got to clear, you got to get, you know, maintain your self-authority and clear your space. And that's what we teach here. That's one of the main things.
I love that. You've probably heard of, well, during the time that I was going through a lot of interesting things, I actually ended up moving into an apartment near a Masonic lodge. I was seeing all this weird interference and I was like, this apartment is weird. And I had never noticed the Masonic lodges and I just started getting some weird activity. So many things were happening, but I started to get help from people like Eve Lorgan, Lauda Leon online. I don't know if you know of them, but they really have some cool stuff too that helped me where you could do a declaration of non-consent.
Yeah.
If these beings were coming along and you would state that you were sovereign. I started every night before going to bed. I relinquish any past contracts.
Yeah.
Whether it was in my ethereal body or my my astral body, because it is crazy when we are sleeping, the deals we can get ourselves into without even knowing. I mean, I feel like, aren't there contracts? Because I feel like I had to like rip up a bunch of contracts.
Yeah.
That I didn't know I was even getting into.
There's a lot of past life things, you know, and then there's cellular memory too, that we have to clear out, you know, the connections there. Right. There's so many different levels to that, you know, but the good thing about, I always tell people, the good news is that within each and every one of us is the big eraser, you know, because it never happens, you know, that's our own God self connection, you know, whatever you want to call it, goddess, God self connection. We all have that.
Yes.
Core of our being. And we just have to find it, you know, and connect with that.
That's so nice. Yeah. It's pencil, not ink. We can.
Yeah, exactly. We can
get rid of it. That's really good news. I think that's what's so beautiful is life without shame and without carrying the burdens of all of these things and realizing that you can forgive yourself and you can clear that and you can integrate and acknowledge the dark things that you've done and then don't do it anymore. It reminds me of how Yeshua said to the prostitute when nobody could accuse her and throw stones at her because they also had darkness in them, that he said, go and sin no more. And it was her, it was in her power to stop sinning. He didn't say, hey, in a few months, I'm going to die and then you'll be okay.
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. He was literally like, girl, well, he didn't probably say girl, but he said, go and sin no more. And he, you know, when I really studied all of this without being attached to any outcome, I kept coming back to having power and being able to do these things. And I think depending on how you're raised and whatever you've been programmed to believe, it's really difficult to sometimes get out of that and be able to see that it's okay to be one with this power of Christ, because actually it came straight from his mouth. It's really funny that if you grow up in that kind of upbringing that you are kind of trained to be scared. You're kind of trained to think that the third eye and the pineal gland is like demonic and stay away. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten into the habit of anything that I was told in my upbringing that was dangerous, stay away from that. That it might be good. Like, for example, sunshine. Yeah. We were told, stay out of the sun and wear chemicals before you go in the sun to block it. And I don't stare directly at the sun, but I do think it's very important. And so a lot of things that we're told are healthy are actually unhealthy and vice versa. And the villain can be the hero and the hero can be painted as the villain. So we always have to be vigilant.
Yeah, be discerning. I want to go back to the sin thing. What's really funny is sin is an archery term.
Yeah.
That means you miss.
You miss the mark.
The guy would miss the target and you go, he sinned. You know, they'd yell out, he sinned.
He missed the
mark. Well, you know, you got more arrows, you can shoot again, you know, just gain the wisdom from the experience and try again.
Yeah.
Basically.
And
the sin would be not learning from the experience and doing it over and over again. And hell is a garbage dump. And if you didn't have enough money to have a proper burial, they just threw you and they burned you in hell. They burned you. You know, you didn't have enough money or you weren't wealthy enough, didn't have enough shekels or whatever, they burned you in hell.
Right.
So you can see how these have been twisted.
So twisted.
Shame and guilt and control people and things like that. And they were never meant to be that way. That was twisted later.
So twisted. And you can just see them scrambling like they are now after they crucified Christ to say, okay, all these people heard his message. Now, how do we take control of this? And then they decided which books to put in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, not these. And then they declared certain scriptures as heretical, especially the Gnostic Gospels or the Nag Hammadi, which I think is so fascinating that in this age that we are living in, we get to read the Gnostic Gospels that were declared heretical and they were hidden and burned. And to me, I'm like, well, that if they weren't allowed to read it, then that's the first thing I'm going to read. I want to know what was in it and why were they so upset about it? And a lot of times that's where I can find the most enlightening things is, you know, and those I think the first English translation of the Nag Hammadi wasn't here till 1977. So this is pretty recent, the fact that that was hidden in a cave for so long. And it just seems kind of divine that it was discovered. And then, you know, even these fragments, the mother of this guy who found them was using them for kindling for fire. And it's like, oh my gosh, no. And how did they get to us? It was almost like all odds against us that we could read this. And, you know, I know a lot of people probably still believe what they were told, that it was, you know, banned and heretical and terrible. And I would just encourage people to explore, because, you know, there's bits and pieces of so much truth everywhere, and we have to kind of put the crumbs together and make our own loaf, it seems.
Yeah, you know, there's like Keys of Enoch and or the Book of Enoch and all those things, you know, that we should read, you know, get a bigger perspective. You know, there's two things I wanted to cover. One is really interesting. First of all, I mean, I've died a couple times and come back, you know, so I have my own personal experience. But what I found out is God doesn't have an ego, you know. He can't judge. We anthropomorphize God as being us, but it's beyond that. It's not male, it's not female, it's just pure love and joy and bliss. It doesn't have an ego. It can't judge. So you're automatically forgiven with the source. So we have to forgive ourselves, basically.
Right.
And I just brain farted on the other one I wanted to say, but
I bet if I blabber a little, you'll remember.
Yeah, it'll pop back up. But it's so important that people forget. Oh, it came to me too. The other question I've always had is like, how'd the Romans get control of Jesus? They killed him. You know what I mean? Why? I mean, you'd think anybody else would be a better source, you know, for who he was and what he taught, you know.
Yeah, I know, not the one that killed him.
It's like, wait a second. Yeah,
it's
like ding, the light goes on, you know. It's just like,
yes, oh, our connection is pausing. I think I missed what you just said.
We killed the internet.
This stuff's too good. So you were saying, yeah, why go? The last thing I heard was, why go to the Romans for
find out about
info.
Jesus?
Yes,
the ones who killed him.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yes, so, it's mind-boggling, but it's you have to.
Everything's backwards. Yeah,
everything is so backwards. It's so crazy when you start to unpeel these layers. I mean, it can be very devastating at first, because you've built your whole life around this and you've trusted that these stories you're told were true, and why wouldn't they be? They're your parents and their parents and their parents were told the same stories. And at some point you just have, you know, if you seek truth like I do, I mean, it's the only reason I'm here is I just want to uncode and find out the truth and love and live. And it's so wild how hard. Why is it so hard to get any kind of truth?
It isn't hard. it's you just go within and you'll get it, but there's no support in the external for the internal truth. You know,
right.
It's so interesting. I was thinking about how just everything is backwards right now. And that, you know, if you get a Bible with the Apocrypha in it, it has all the women's teachings in it that were taken out. And it has Archangel Michael talking about reincarnation and everything. Even Jesus talked about, you know, he was talking about Elijah, you know, and he said, John is Elijah who was to come.
Yes.
How can that not be reincarnation? What else?
Exactly. That's what it's so critical.
So
yes,
King James Version. Yeah, was taken out of a whole room full of books, and they weren't getting it done fast enough, so they whacked a couple of the scribes, and then they got it done really quick. So people don't know that. And then there's the Council of Nicaea that took a whole bunch of stuff out. It goes on and on, but if you could get the most ancient scriptures and look at those and really do your research, that's when you start getting the big picture, you know, the real, what really happened in the past.
Yes, I love that. It is so true, because in my spiritual awakening, a big part of it was realizing and just having a knowing of some of my past lives, because things were coming up to be healed and things were being revealed to me just from meditation. And I just know because I was in a Christian programming growing up, it doesn't mean that I still, you know, there's a lot of that was wonderful, but a lot of it was limiting. Yeah. So, you know, the missing piece there about, just like you said, it is so obvious Christ was talking about reincarnation there, but yeah, we have been so conditioned to think that that is, you know, don't talk about it. It's bad and it's scary and it's, you know, demonic. It's such an important missing piece, because you could go to counseling your entire life here on this planet for this current life, and you could totally be stuck in some terrible patterns from other lives that you haven't quite released or healed. And it's just incredible, because there are so many pieces, and they have been scattered. It isn't quite so easy unless you do connect inside. I love what you said.
I think it was Meister Eckhart or whatever. Yeah, he said that. I love what he said. He said, if nuts produce nut trees and pears produce pear trees, what do God seeds produce? You know? and he got taken out for that one. You know. But I mean, Jesus said that you're all God. He goes, you're all God's children of the Most High. You know, you would do greater works for I than I, for I go on to the Father. I mean, he laid it out. He goes, and this is how you do it. His life was the message. But I just got the 5-minute mark, so we've got to sign off. So what's the best way that people can get in contact with you to get your music and find out more about the work that you're doing?
Oh, yes. They can go to my website, which is rachelsmusic.com, RachelsMusic.com. And then, of course, I have Twitter, which is at rachelsmusic. YouTube is at rachelsmusic. And all of my music, actually my recent single, Light Me Up, is on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora. And you can add it to your playlist. Light Me Up's doing really well, and it's a really cool song that actually goes along with what we've been talking about, where you connect that inner light and the source of all, and that's what we're asking, is to be lit up right now during these times so we can have that real connection and awakening. So I hope that people will be touched by the song, and you can also, you know, make a little video on TikTok if you want. The old, I haven't checked that out yet, but I hear that it is the new craze created in China of all things. Yes.
Well, I think we definitely lit each other up with this interview. That was amazing. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's been awesome. And we'll get you back on again. And I can't wait to meet you when you come up here to the ranch.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And you definitely lit me up. Your energy is so refreshing. And I am so excited to come to Isetti. And I can't wait to meet everyone and experience that firsthand.
Great. I'm just Amir.
But anyway, what?
We got to sign off, folks. We're out of time, unfortunately. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio and Isetti Stargate. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. That's all that's necessary. Good night.
You're the chaos in my brain, feeling like propane. I just need your spark. Can you light me up? You keep glowing on my face like a sunlit flame, but you're still so far. I just need that touch. Feels like kerosene, caressing me. Kill this atrophy, come set me free. I still rage for you, but will you rage for me? Can you light me up? To my soul where the sparkle flows, I just need your flow.